friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Denver Nuggets will host the Miami Heat in Game 1 of the National Basketball Association Finals on Thursday night in Denver, Colorado. The Nuggets, led by two-time NBA Most Valuable Player Nikola Jokic, are in the finals for the first time. Meanwhile, the Heat are three-time NBA champions, and this is the sixth time they've reached the finals under head coach Eric Spoelstra. On Monday night, Miami defeated the host Boston Celtics 103-84 to win the Eastern Conference Finals 4-3. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston.
The Miami Heat denied history and made some of their own, winning Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals 103-84 over the Boston Celtics. Jimmy Butler scored a game-high 28 points to help Miami become just the second number 8 seed to reach the NBA Finals.
I'm just confident. I know the work that we all put into it, so I know what we're capable of. But nobody's satisfied. We haven't done anything. We don't play just to win the Eastern Conference. We play to win the whole thing.
The Heat won 3 straight before dropping 3 straight in the series. NBA teams are 151-0 all time when leading 3-0 in a playoff series. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had 19 and 14 points respectively for the Celtics. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Miami lost to Boston in last year's Eastern Conference Finals 4-3. Heat coach Eric Spoelstra says falling one game short of the NBA Finals last year helped motivate his team.
What happened last year, obviously was on our mind, and it drove us this year. And that's what you always hope for competition, that it can drive you to a higher level. And I think that's what you saw in this series this year, to be able to have to overcome a lot of stuff.
Miami forward Caleb Martin scored 26 points in Game 7.
I knew it was going to come out at some point. It's just a great feeling that it came out during a Game 7 on the road like this. But it just shows you that, what I'm capable of, and I just want to continue to stay locked in. I knew how they were going to guard me through the series, and I just want to take advantage of that.
Meanwhile, Boston star Jason Tatum was hobbled during Game 7 after suffering a sprained ankle on the team's opening possession.
It just was, unfortunate fall tonight on the first play of the game, and something I was trying to battle through throughout the game.
Final score from Boston: Miami Heat 103, Boston Celtics 84. The Heat advance to the NBA Finals. The Denver Nuggets will host the Heat in Game 1 of the NBA Finals on Thursday night.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America was once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which wrapped up its third season on May 27th in Kigali, Rwanda. The VOA flexed its multilingual muscles, broadcasting the BAL games on radio in English, French, Portuguese, Bambara, and Kinyarwanda. In Kigali, BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall congratulated the finalists and talked about the league's Season 3.
Season 3 has been our most competitive season yet, with a packed crowd here at the Bank of Kigali Arena, including a sold-out arena for the opening night and the finals. Our games have also reached fans in 214 countries and territories, including all 54 countries in Africa. It was an amazing 3-month journey that started in Dakar with the Sahara Conference, led us through Cairo with our Nile Conference, and finishing here in Kigali with these finals. We've hosted a number of youth empowerment events ancillary events across all the three cities where we played. And again, thank you. The Basketball Africa League have truly arrived. Congratulations to the runner-ups. Ayes Duane, you put on a great fight, but there could be only one winner. So congratulations to our 2023 Basketball Africa League champions, Al Ahly from Cairo, Egypt.
Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall speaking at the Bank of Kigali Arena in Rwanda. What was your assessment of the BAL Season 3? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the BAL's head of league operations, Ruben Boomche Boomche.
We had some very good game during the playoff of this year. BAL Season 3, I think we saw some really good competition. The quality of the playoff was definitely higher than the previous two seasons, which is our objective. And we're going to continue to work really hard for the level to continue to progress for the future season. So I think it was really good to see teams like Ayes Duane move to the final. Showed really good quality basketball, not only throughout the conference, but also during the playoffs. So I think we're very satisfied for this season, where the level of basketball is. And like I said, we're going to work hard with Federation and trying to help clubs in ways that they can have better quality players, and that for the future season, we can continue to have a higher level of play. So our goal is, especially in the playoff, to try to help as much as we can those team acquire players that can really show the quality of play, of basketball that, we would like to see in the continent. So very good season three. We are very happy about it, and I hope that the public really enjoyed.
Did the outcome of some games at the playoffs come to you as a surprise? Because some analysts tipped Petro de Luanda as favorites for the title.
Yes, I think that probably like most people, I did expect Petro to make it to the finals, especially since the night conference, the game against Al Ahly, I think was one of those games for the ages, and I did expect them to make it there, but I think this is really a testament to Ayes Duane and other teams who've shown the level of play that they are capable of. And then in the playoff, we're talking about a one game series, really, so I think teams have to be ready to play for that game, and it was the case here in Kigali. Ayes Duane, we always knew, was a very, very dangerous team. We saw how they finished the season in the Sahara, and they just continued that momentum in the playoffs. So it was maybe a little bit of a surprise, but really, it really just speaks volume of how well that team was constructed. I mean, they had everything, and the game was really, they definitely were the better team from the get-go. So maybe a bit of a surprise initially, but watching the game, they definitely deserve to win that game because they were definitely a better team.
Do you think BAL Season 4 will be more competitive given the improvements in games played in Season 3?
The goal is definitely to have even a more competitive season. I think we've shown improvement since season one, quite a few games. There's obviously definitely more interest from a lot of different countries. We hear about it all the time, who want to participate in the BAL, who are asking how to get to the BAL and how to put together teams. I think even all these champion teams of the respective country who have participated, they know that potentially there might be other teams in their own country who wants to do it, which is going to raise the level of competition locally, which, you know, I would expect that, you know, coming to the BAL, we'll see more competition, more improvement. So it's definitely the goal, and we're going to work, continue to work towards achieving that goal of improving really the quality of the game during our conferences, but also during the playoffs. So I do expect season four to be more competitive and that we just continue to grow the game at a higher level.
That's Ruben Boomche Boomche, head of league operations, Basketball Africa League. And Ruben spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kigali, Rwanda.
Sporty greetings. This is Ruben Boomche Boomche, head of league operation, Basketball African League. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Africa's first hosting of the World Table Tennis Championships in 84 years was deemed a resounding success over the weekend in Durban, South Africa. Perennial winners China scooped gold in every category, once again asserting their dominance over the sport with just over a year to go to the 2024 Paris Olympics. And while African competitors suffered early exits, the progress of current African champion Omar Asar of Egypt and Nigerian teenager Mati Taiwo encouraged the continent's governing body. Ultimately, it was a major victory for the continent, whose ability to host and produce top-quality players came to the fore. Myron Nika reports from Durban.
Having conquered the table tennis world in Asia, Europe, and North America, all that was left for Team China was to display their supremacy in Africa. And that they did, with a clean sweep of the medals. Fan Zhendong successfully defended his title, while Sun Ying Sha claimed the women's gold medal. Sunday's blockbuster finish capped a stunning week for the city of Durban, as well as South Africa, as hosts. Wahid Oshodi, deputy president of the African Table Tennis Federation, applauded the Southern African country's efforts.
You know, people had believed that we didn't have the infrastructure in Africa to host this kind of event, but, you know, one must give credit to the ITTF for the faith, the belief they had in South Africa. You know, personally, I had said to a lot of people, South Africa has hosted the FIFA World Cup. Why wouldn't they be able to host the World Table Tennis Championship? You know, Africa has pulled together. There's been big support right from winning the bid to throughout the hosting of the event. Africa has supported South Africa. And I believe we've pulled off, you know, fantastic world championships.
Ushodi said that hosting the flagship event in World Table Tennis was a learning opportunity for the federation. The sports governing body on the continent acknowledges the need to improve facilities and coaching structures.
For Africa players to be more competitive, it just means they have to work harder, they have to be disciplined, they have to do things the right way, get the right play with, you know, the good equipment, and listen to their coaches. There's no magic involved. You have to work very hard. And we've seen the Chinese, we've seen the Japanese, the Germans, the top countries across the world. One thing that differentiates them is they probably work harder than others.
Egypt's Omar Asar was the best-placed African in the tournament, reaching the quarterfinals. His compatriot, Dina Meshref, was the best-performing female with a round of 32 finish. She believes African players do not just need better infrastructure, but the same level of training facilities and coaching expertise in order to compete against the best table tennis-playing nations in the world.
The challenge is not having the same quality of practice. They're getting the same resources. We have to fly all the way to Asia to get the kind of practice that they're getting all year. So definitely that's one big challenge, in my opinion.
It's a sentiment that Nigerian wonder kid Mati Taiwo echoed. Taiwo was the surprise qualifier into the round of 32, fending off experienced players through the first two rounds. In order to develop his game, the bronze medalist from the 2021 ITTF World Youth Championships had to move to Portugal. Taiwo labeled the experience as incredibly fulfilling, but admitted it was difficult to travel to South Africa without his coach due to financial constraints.
Sometimes it can affect you mentally when you don't have a coach. And whenever I go to tournament without a coach, I always speak with my coach before the tournament, and he always tells me some things I need to do. Even if it's not there, I just keep on thinking, and I know sometimes it works and sometimes it's a little bit difficult, but I think very soon everything is going to work out positive and there will be changes.
Table tennis for all, table tennis for life. The ITTF slogan resonated through the week. The Federation's bold plan to develop the sport in all corners of the world has taken flight. The challenge for Africa is to build on the success of hosting the tournament, driving the narrative that one day the continent will produce its very own world champion. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myra Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, talks about the dire need for humanitarian assistance to the Horn of Africa. Also, the recently approved anti-homosexuality law in Uganda has activists worried about a domino effect on the continent. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Uganda, where former national rugby team captain Edmund Tumusiime is helping young players develop their skills in the sport. Magume Davis Rakawinge caught up with Edmund during one of his training sessions, and he filed this feature report from Kampala. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners.
Guys, hey! None of you is communicating whole press. And because you're not communicating press, it means that you're disjointed. Hunter, it's your role to make sure this team is all shouting and yelling. Ojara, do me a favor. Get everyone here to be yelling, hold, 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 until the ball is lifted up and you call press. I don't want you to be quiet. That call is the most important in this team defense. That call at the ruck is the most important. Forget about tackling, because you're going sixes and sevens. Do you understand? Guys, we need to be moving as a blanket. We press together as a blanket.
In a dim light evening, sit at the primary school of Kamocha, a Kampala suburb, rugby coach Edmund Tumusiime shouts instructions at his players as they engage in the final session ahead of the second division game the following day. He tells them communication is one aspect they must master if they are to succeed in their rugby careers. Not even the low light and the coldness of the evening demoralizes the budding rugby players from competing for a chance to be selected ahead of the game. One of the players here is 16 years old, Maclem Sewanyana, a scrum half.
So me too here, I always come early, work on night passing, work on the Broncos, 20, 50 meter runs, 20, 40, 60 meter runs. Yeah, try to gain that pace. And
Sewanyana started playing rugby some 4 years ago, but is now an integral member of the second division side, Eagles Rugby Club, that was mainly formed to accommodate emerging talented players like him. Sewanyana says he has learned a lot from his coach Tumusiime and wants to emulate him. play for the national team, the Rugby Cranes, and earn a professional contract abroad.
Like, I've learned defense. If you can't defend, you can't put on that team. So I also put in my mind that I have to defend to be on the team. So I kept on working on my tackles, on my speed, so they could be everywhere the defender is, so they could tackle them, get that ball back, because that's the way we can get the ball back.
Another player here is 17 years old, Keith Mugisha, a play half. He says he learned that discipline and hard work pays.
First of all, I've learned timekeeping. Timekeeping is a problem, was a problem. But you get here for late, you get here for training late, you get punished for it. So you make sure the next time you're coming, you come early. Then we've also learned how to put in a shift for what we want, because winning is not easy. You have to put in the work to get the medal, to get the trophy. So we've learned to put in that extra shift, because we train Tuesday, Thursday, but you'll find that on Monday, someone is on pitch because they want, you know, they know what they want. You'll find on Wednesday, there is someone on pitch. You'll find on Saturday, we have no training, but there is someone on pitch. So we've learned that self-drive from the coaches, especially. We've learned that the want, like how to want something and actually work for it. Yeah.
So when you're in hopes, they're now friends, and Rugby Brothers will make a dream Rugby Cranes.
Want ourselves to be seen on those international televisions that Uganda is really on the World Cup, because it's been long since Uganda had been in the World Cup. I just want to be like that, be like the captain, be the man of the match every game, and the help of the team. I think every young player out there really wants to push Uganda rugby to the sky limits.
But some of the budding players here have difficult backgrounds. 23 years old Araptai Wile Ateng says he used to associate with bad groups where he learned antisocial behaviors. He says he's glad the game of rugby has turned him into a better person.
Actually, they used to make me aggressive. Actually, they had times when you take those bags. They make you aggressive.
But now actually, you're a changed man.
Yeah, I'm a changed man. We have 100% by now. So I can use my mental head to play the game.
The Pase winger also has dreams of becoming a legend, just like his coach.
I want to join the national team. I want to be among those top players in the, not actually the national, worldwide. Because I see I can make it through all the life experience I've passed through since childhood up to now where I'm here. I can see sure I can make it. Because life changes step by step. See, once you want change in your life, change changes you.
Having retired at an early age, many to concentrate on his ICT engineering career. Edmond Tumusime, known as Edu in rugby circles, is arguably the best fly half to don the Rugby Cranes jersey. Yet, despite the praise, Edu remained humble and says he believes he wasn't exceptionally talented, but rather hardworking. He's glad he's impacting the game of rugby by training the young ones. At least twice a week, Coach Edu must spare some time and volunteer, share his skills and experiences with the players here.
We've created a philosophy. The club, we sold the philosophy. The players, they're bought into it, and they're ready to fight for each other. When they are playing, you can see they're brothers, and they're willing to do anything to get victory for the family. And that's how we were able to win the championship in the Central Region, and subsequently qualifying for the playoffs to see who qualifies for the top national premiership level.
Will he consider coming back into active rugby and play for the national team? Edu answers, it won't matter as long as his impact is still felt on the pitch, at least indirectly.
I'm trying to transform and equip the young generation to take over. In fact, I keep telling them every day, and I think it's some motivation for them, some big motivation for them. I want them to actually make careers out of this sport. You've seen around some of these kids still come from the ghettos, by the way. Some of the boys playing for us come from ghettos and backgrounds which are very difficult. Some of them are actually the sole breadwinners. So I need their lives to be transformed. It's something from a humanitarian perspective. I have to make sure if we can't give them the money to look after themselves and their families, we can equip them and give them the skills and the facilitation for rugby to transform their lives and their families.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Ayamugume, Davis Rwakarinji ni Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Edmond Tumusime. I am an ex-rugby international, Uganda. I am an African champion, won the Africa Cup in 2007, and also was the MVP Ugandan rugby in 2006. I currently coach a club called Eagles Rugby Club, but I've also coached different levels in Ugandan rugby. I'm passionate about coaching young children from ages 5 and above, and actually run an academy at Chitante Primary School in Uganda. And you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. African athletes turned in some impressive performances at the recent Rabat Diamond League meet in Morocco. Samson Omale reports.
Africa made an impressive showing at the Wanda Diamond League meeting on Sunday in Rabat as world and Olympic champion Soufiane El Bakkali of Morocco won the steeplechase race in the personal best of 7 minutes 56.68 seconds. It was a world-leading match and meeting record feats that were also achieved by Ethiopia's Gudaf Segei, who won the 1,500 meters in 3 minutes 54.03 seconds to lead an Ethiopian 1-2-3-4 finish, with Freywenin Haliu claiming second in 3 minutes 57.65 seconds, just 0.01 seconds ahead of BK Halum and Waknish Mesele, who was fourth in 4 minutes 01.81 seconds. Segei, after the race, said she is in great shape and injury-free.
This one is my first competition this outdoor season, but I'm happy. Maybe problem is I think first lap is easy for pace meter. Yeah, maybe that one problem, but I'm happy my first race this one. No problem.
In other races, Kipkeno Classic 800 meters champion Emmanuel Wanyoyi of Kenya destroyed a fine field to retain the men's 800 meters title to win in 1 minute and 44.36 seconds, while world 100 meters champion Fred Keeley from United States of America affirmed his status, beating Commonwealth champion Kenya's Ferdinand Omanyala to win the 100 meters at the Rabat Diamond League on Sunday.
Thanks to Samson Omale for that report. And that wraps up the May 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.